Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug, it's Thursday, March 21st, 2024, and we are finally taping a new episode.
Yeah, party time.
Yeah, we're doing it right now. This is it. This is the show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is actually happening.
Are you, you know, we do a cold open every show, right? This isn't surprising news to you.
I like acting surprised.
Hey, speaking of new, happy new year.
Oh, yep. Still happy.
Our guest today is a very funny comic named Jenny Johnson. Love the, you know, we like the alliterative names on the show. And, she posts movie she live posts movies on X, formerly Twitter. Do you ever live post anything, Doug?
I did one time, like 10, 15 years ago. I did like a live posting of me watching The Rocketeer. And
and then that went so well you never did it again?
Exactly. I think it was really fun for me, and that was about it, I think.
Yeah, why put yourself through that again?
I enjoy following along, though. That's fun.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to Jenny about how and why she does that. And I also just want to ask, I recently acquired some circus peanuts, and I'm always fascinated by people's attitude towards circus peanuts. Do you mess with them?
No. You know, I haven't had one in, good God, I don't know how long. I'd be curious to try it again.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's palate changes in a way where they suddenly like circus peanuts. You know what I mean? I think you're out for life. Especially when the package of them that I got, is they're extra hard. Like, and at the very least, they should be soft, you know? But they come out hard a lot of times because, you know, they just sit on the shelves and nobody buys them. But somehow they continue to exist. So anyway, I'm going to hopefully remember to ask Jenny about circus peanuts. Let's go to work. Hello, Jenny Johnson. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Doug. Happy New Year, Doug.
Happy New Year.
Covering all the Dougs.
Happy New Year to all the Dougs.
All the Doug bases have been covered. How are you, Jenny, first of all?
I'm good. I'm coming, you know, fresh off of the starting lineup show at the Improv last night.
How did that go? It's a monthly show you do there?
Yeah, you know, the energy in the lab was electric. I don't know what it is about that room. It just sucks everyone's soul away.
I think because they, you know, once you're going into a place called the lab, you're, you know, maybe you're expecting like there to be like experiments, you know, and... some sort of science going on, and then we're just right in there telling jokes.
And everyone looks like they were just like, oh, I thought we were going to dinner. I didn't know there was a show here.
I just thought this was the waiting area. Right. I thought I was in the waiting lounge to go into the main room. Exactly. The real comedy show.
That's the waiting room for the main room.
And yeah, like, the lab is it's a special cute spot.
that's a nice way to put it. a cute spot.
I do Douglas movies there once a month now, and it's just, you know, I love the neighborhood the improv's in, and it's always, you know, a pretty popular club, but there's something about, you know, getting people there is I'm finding it hard to do.
Yeah, I've had more comics because, you know, like when you're booking a show, you got to reach out to people, and it's like, you know, having a monthly show, as you know, it's a chore. You have to,
yeah. It's a lot.
And then I'll get people and I'm like, and I have to say, hey, would you want to do my monthly show? And I put in parentheses lab, you know, improv. I don't want to mislead anyone. Because that would be dirty. It would be like, hey, you want to do a show at the improv? And they're like, actually, Tom Arnold did this show one time, and he goes, I didn't even know this room was back here.
Oh, my God.
It is like a secret speakeasy that's discovered by the people who make a wrong turn going to the bathroom.
Exactly. And but I'll have people like comics, like more than I care to mention, that'll go, I love you to pieces, Jenny, but I hate that fucking room. I'm like, all right, fair enough. No judgment. I would rather people just tell me that.
It's so dark. I mean, all clubs are dark, but that room in particular feels, it's just black. It's so weird.
And then it's very small. I mean, it only seats 30 people, so maybe people are drawn more to being in a space that's got, you know, lots more people. Like the intimacy of it might, you know, it's like a good room for close-up magic.
Yeah, it really is, because that room, if you get the vibe that everyone's sitting there, they're like, I don't want to be the one to laugh out loud, like too loud, because then I'll, you know, like, I don't want the attention drawn, you know, so they all just sit there, and like they're being held at gunpoint. You're like, you can laugh, that's okay, you know, have a good time.
Have you done a show in that room, Jenny, with one of those ones where it's where you're surrounded, like where they move the stage to the middle of the room?
I've never done that. I don't really think I would want that. That just
I think it'd
like...
be weird, because it's already such a small space. So like on some sides of you, you'd really only have like one or two rows of people.
Yeah.
So then like, where do you favor? Which way do you look, you know?
Right. Or you're just spinning in circles. And then I'd feel like everyone's just staring at my butt. And
well, know, I wish the stage would physically turn so I wouldn't have to.
Yeah. But it makes you look like, it looks like, you know, like it's the end of the movie Taken, where like the girls come out and people are bidding on them. Like, you're just standing there in the middle, like very much on display. I prefer a regular stage with nobody standing behind me.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like you're being cooked standing in the middle with all that light just turning.
Yeah. Like somebody's all of a sudden going to put a laser pointer and start pointing out all my physical flaws and shit. Like, look at this.
Well, anyway, come see our shows at the Lab at the Improv.
Yeah, maybe you can change the
whenever
room.
You get a chance.
Yeah,
I've had some fun shows in there, but I understand what you mean, especially for like at a podcast taping. At least the people sitting there kind of feel like they need to contribute. They need to clap and laugh too,
right?
Because it's being recorded. But when there's nothing on the line and they just come in there and they're just watching somebody do stand up in that tiny room, I could see where it could get, you know, a little quiet, even if the people are sitting there smiling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to get an energy going, because I know when I'm one of 20 or 30 people, I'm not excited about screaming and yelling and cheering for things, you know? It already just creates kind of a chill vibe. But that being said, the show Wide World of Dougs, we will have an occasional repeat guest, but that's if somebody like is, you know, really talkative and we just don't get to all the questions we like to ask people about their names. So every once in a while we'll have a repeat guest, but I, you know, pride myself on this being the first time I screwed up and I booked somebody who's been on before and was a great, polite guest the first time around. So we didn't, need to have a follow-up visit just to get our questions answered. So, but I'm still happy to welcome you back, Jenny. And I do have some important things I'd like to talk about. But
all
right. We already discussed your name, obviously, when you were on last May, and how you had one of the more unusual middle names that we've come across. It's not as bad as Natalie Cuomo's middle name. But anyway, but Adair is an interesting was an interesting middle name. Of course, yes. We discussed it and how your initials are JAJ Jaj, which is you know, just fun to say. Jaj. But but now that you're back, I want to talk more about a subject we obviously touched on last time because we called the episode Forrest Doug. So I think we discussed with you that you had just seen Forrest Gump because you like to and remind me how often you do this. You watch a movie.
I have
and
my
live post it on X, formerly Twitter.
Yes. And I do that, and I will stick with the whole movie, and I just give the blow by blow of the whole movie, but my my opinion on it. And you know, I think it's meant to be funny. It's lighthearted. I'll do those 5 days a week or something like that. Or sometimes it's three, like, you know, now that the strikes are over, I'm still trying to lock down a writing job. So I'm still doing that, but I'll do it. And then people, it's a free entertainment. I let people tip at the end, and it's nice. It's a nice little fun thing to do.
That's super nice of you to let them tip. And
it's super nice. It's free entertainment. It takes me 4 hours to watch a movie because I have to keep pausing to you know, live post the thing. I'm like, this takes me a long time to do. And sometimes I'll do two movies if I'm feeling frisky.
And people should feel guilty if they're getting that much entertainment for free. So you let them tip.
Yeah, that's exactly. Good. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's better than, like, I didn't want to try to do some, like, subscribe to this sort of thing. Like, I just thought, I'll give it away for free, and I'll trust that people will be nice and leave a tip.
And how do you decide? It felt like initially it was, you know, just movies you either hadn't seen or it's been a long time since you saw them. Right. Is that still the premise?
That's still the premise. And I always, like, before I watch a movie, I'll try to, like, kind of come up with a theme. I'll start looking through, like Tubi has a lot of good old movies that from the 80s and shit like that, that some I haven't seen or some I haven't seen since the 80s. So I'll go through and I'll find like four different movies. I'll put it up and let people vote on which movie they want me to watch. So I let my followers pick.
I've done the same move sometimes, and I find that people just pick the movie they think will be most torturous for you.
Well, some people like, and I have, when I post it, I put the voting up, and I like to see like how many people vote. There's like a few thousand people will, pick the movie. But then sometimes I like to always, I take a screenshot of it and I'll send it to like my sister, a friend of mine. So, and I let them guess which one's going to come in first, second, third, fourth. And half the time, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is going to be it. I know it's going to be this movie, and that movie will come in like dead last. And I'm like, oh, I did not see everyone picking, whatever it may be.
Probably also very man forward in terms of the end result. Like, it's probably the most action male oriented movie is going to win.
I like some of the most fun movies I watch for, like, I think I talked about this last time too. I thought I wasn't an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. And I, shut my mouth. I'm wrong. I'm like Team Arnold now. I'm like, he's my number one action hero.
Yeah, because he's either, every movie Arnold's in is either bad fun or good fun. Like, he's, some of them are actually good, some of them aren't, but it's always fun because they always have to have a quick line of dialogue explaining why he talks the way he does. Sometimes they don't even do that. He's either from Austria or he's a robot. And then they, sometimes they just ignore it altogether and pretend he just sounds like everybody else.
Yeah, and there's always a gratuitous shirtless shot, always just a random, turning and greasy, very tan, very greased up.
He's still like working out every day. Why would he want to do a movie where he just showed off?
I think one of my favorites that I watched was Predator, and then everyone started sending me that gif of him and Carl Weathers and their muscles when they high five. And they're flexing their biceps as hard as they can. It's like, oh, this is gonna be so cheesy. Jungle, I love it. Yeah,
they jungle face paint on, like they're all just a bunch of drag queens.
And you're looking, you're like, you're watching Predator the whole time. I was like, how are there two former governors in this movie? It's insane. There's two former governors, and I think in multiple movies together.
Yeah, no, those guys. They're real take charge. Jesse Ventura,
yeah. And then what's the one that he was in with Alyssa Milano as a kid?
Oh, Commando! Brilliant.
Commando.
Oh,
yeah.
The last 30 minutes of that is just straight insanity. It's like an action sequence that just won't quit. People just explosions everywhere. People doing triple backflips after the explosions happen. I mean, it's awesome. It's so bad. It's so good, Dad.
Great. It's like they hired like four stunt coordinators from like various types of action. Like some, some boxing, some, you know, like, and they all just came together at once. And just everyone was exploding. It was so good.
It might be Arnold's most violent movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of death.
It's up there. And like just very bloody when it happens, you know, because a lot of action movies he's in, they, you know, try to split the difference a little bit, get the family crowd in there, get PG-13.
Isn't the most, I think the bloodiest one that I saw of his was Running Man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that one was, too. I mean, that was, which I was, I've never laughed so hard at an action movie in my life.
It's kind of a cool, like, plot idea, but boy, is it cheesy and the perfect like 80s 90s way. That was it, like a hockey like opera singer or something, right? Like Dynamo or, oh my god, what the hell is even happening?
Yeah, when and right when I watch it, like the guy that was a big, the big heavy set kind of Asian man, like he looked like,
oh yeah,
dumbest, and immediately I was like, why do I know that guy? And then I realized, oh, he's Francis's butler from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The one that's like, Francis is taking his bath. And I was like, why do I know that guy? I love you. R.I.P. Pee-wee.
But you're always, probably making some interesting connections just watching these random older movies back to back. Like, there's a lot of interesting. A character actor just died who's in, you know, every other movie you probably have been watching. His name's M. Emmett Walsh. And he's always just been very curmudgeonly. The actual actor has very severe hearing loss in one ear. So he like kind of shouts his lines and usually plays mean characters. And but he just passed away. But now, you know, people are just probably very surprised by all the movies he's been in that they've seen.
My favorite thing of him is the jerk when he's shooting the can.
Right. Oh. Yeah. He hates these cans.
He hates these cans. Oh god.
Yeah, that's him. That's him. Emmett Walsh. Maybe I'll post. I was trying to think of something to post to honor him today on my socials, and that'd be a fun clip to show that he was a, you know, because there's nothing funnier these days than someone just shooting at somebody randomly in the streets.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know, in like probably in like 50 years, that will be something that people are like, oh my god, that was so funny, they were shooting at each other in the street. It's so hilarious. Like, it's so common now, why would we even be bothered by it?
Yeah, just like, you know, guy hates cans. Life's a shooting gallery. So now that more months, if we talked to you about how you were doing this, we talked to you about it last May, and now, you know, more time has passed, and maybe you're not watching as many movies as you were, but you're still doing it. So
I have been watching as many, and then I've even done a few series. I did the Peacemaker series.
Oh, wow.
I live posted all 8 episodes, and then I did WandaVision.
Oh, wow. That is,
that was that really is fun.
Quite an undertaking.
Yes. and Peacemaker, by the way, was, both of those were awesome. I just watched Peacemaker. That was incredible.
Yeah, I like both those series, and you know, Peacemaker 2, you know, got held up a little bit by strikes and stuff, but it's coming.
Yeah, I can't
so that's
wait.
exciting. Yeah. So my question then, though, so okay. You're still seeing tons of movies. So you've seen a lot of movies since last May. So what has been the movie that has surprised you? You know, because you're obviously just getting these titles thrown at you by your followers. So like, what movie did you go in and were you most like pleasantly surprised by?
Let's see. Oh, this is one I know y'all are going to go, I can't believe you just watched it for the first time. I'm not a Harrison Ford fan. I'm just not. He always just looks grouchy. And when I say that to people, they get so upset because he's Han Solo. And everyone's like, fuck you. I hope you die. If I write that on social media. But I watched The Fugitive.
Han Solo is grouchy. That's his number one character trait.
I know, but it's so, but The Fugitive, talk about the double grouch, Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford. Yeah,
they were just having a grouch off.
I mean, exactly.
One.
I mean, just
who
I
could go rrr, louder?
How do you kill my wife? And he's like, I don't care. And I'm like, well, shouldn't you fucking care? You're the fucking marshal. It's kind of a big thing, right? Like, maybe you should care, like, a little bit. But that, I was like, I watched that the day before yesterday. I watched The Departed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was good. I'm like, I'm going to be talking like those. I saw a dead guy, the boss. But
that's an intense movie, especially, especially regarding, you know, how each actor kind of takes a different approach to the Boston accents.
Yeah.
I don't think Nicholson really nails it.
No, Nicholson starts off, and I was like, am I about to watch, because it starts off with a voiceover, am I about to watch a Jack Nicholson movie? I didn't know that Jack Nicholson did any other voice but Jack Nicholson. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. I'll meet you at the car by the yacht.
And then it just slowly goes away through the movie. It's like he started off like, okay, I'm going to try it. Here we go, guys. And then it just petered out like 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, like I'm Jack Nicholson. Nobody cares if I nail this accent. They gave, Michael Caine an Oscar for his terrible Northeastern accent in Cider House Rules. Good night, my princes of New England, my kings of Maine.
One movie that I have to say, I did not like it, but I had the most fun live posting it, was Dirty Dancing, which I had never seen. I never liked those like rebel dancer movies from the 80s. My sister, all her friends are obsessed with. It's like, oh, he's the rebel dancer. And I had the most fun making fun of it because these people were acting like, oh my God, the employee dance off is the biggest thing in the world. And like, you're in the Catskills. Maybe get out of the Catskills. No one cares that a 45-year-old man is having a dance off with other people who clean the cabins at this fucking resort.
Yeah, like, it's a small universe. They tried to like take it to Havana in Dirty Dancing 2 or something, just because they realized how many storylines can you have in the Catskills. And
how many back alley abortions can you give in the cat?
Right. You know, it's just not the place, it's not the time or place for it. But you gotta have you been forced to watch much of the Patrick Swayze canon? Because I find that through all the varying quality of movies, he is Mr. Commitment. Like, no matter how dumb the movie is, he's still there for it.
And I know that because I watch Roadhouse. And again, how do people know? Like, that was my question. I'm like, it's like, oh my God, that's Dalton. That's Dalton. Yeah. I'm like, there's no internet. He's a bouncer. How is he? They're a famous bouncer.
Yeah. That's how famous he was at bouncing, is that even without internet, every shithole club in the country was like worried that Dalton might show up.
And he just comes in and orders coffee, you know, and then it's like, and but then his outfit, the commitment to these, the clothes that he's wearing, you know, these just tight jeans. He has this one top, it looks like a blouse, like a lady's blouse, but kind of like a karate uniform without the belt on it. And he just comes in, no problem. Like,
there's also one of the most uncomfortable sex scenes I've ever seen in my life, where I was worried for Kelly Lynch's back against a stone wall. What are you doing?
Yeah,
it's not pleasurable.
Like a brick wall, like a comedy club.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's like rubbing her back up against stone, all those
edges. Yeah,
just exposed brick, and she's just going up and down against him. Like, put a puffy vest on or something.
That is not a that is not a sex wall, dude.
But I like it. They just rolled up. I did think it was funny too that like his setup where he lived, you know, he just goes to a barn and you're like, what? You don't, you could go get an apartment or something. Why is it necessary for you to live in a barn?
He has to buy new tires for his car every day because he just knows that people get thrown out of clubs. They come back and slash your tires. They don't just sober up and let it go.
But
I think they go over his pay at some point in the movie. It's not much. It's not a lot of money.
Right, so
and like, especially when he has to buy a car every day. Like that is what.
Yeah. He should be monetizing his celebrity in that town. Because if everyone knows him, he could have a sponsor or something. Like,
he gets free coffee. You know? adds up. Listen, speaking of purchasing things or getting them for free.
I like that segue.
Let's check out some ads. Let's go see what this show's trying to sell to you these days. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're fucking back. Yeah.
Wow, those are great products.
I'm fired up from those ads.
I am too. It's electric.
So exciting. All right. So you kind of answered my question when you said that you saw a hilariously bad movie. But what was a movie that you've seen that people talked up to you and you finally watched it and you were like, oh, why? You know, why the hype? Like, what's the big deal here? Did you have one of those lately?
I did. This is going to go to Harrison Ford again. I didn't like Indiana Jones.
Oh,
the first one, original? Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Because you don't give a
controversial
shit
about... statement. Like, I know, but there was just, I don't know, maybe it's just because I don't like him, but also just the character is like, he plays that grouchy character again, and then it's just, I don't know, I couldn't get into it. I don't like it.
Yeah, his thing was sort of like, not superhero, but reluctant hero who is just always in a bad mood because he doesn't really want to be the hero. He just wants to get it, whatever's happening.
Sleep with his students or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't seem to have a relationship like that with his students, but he definitely, if a damsel's in distress, he's also going to try to make love to her after he saves her. But he sticks to one woman through the entirety of each movie.
That's commitment.
Give him props for that. But he's also just not a very romantic guy in general.
At the end of Temple of Doom, he whips the woman around the waist because she says she's like over him. He whips her around the waist and then reels her in, and then they kiss, and it's like, oh sure, like, okay, well let's just end there.
Great. He knows how to soft touch with that whip, you know. He didn't like. You're making it sound like he whips her, and then
I mean, he kind of does. It goes around her waist.
It goes around her gently, and then he pulls her very hard.
What goes on behind closed doors if he did that in front of everyone?
He's doing that in public. What the hell's he doing?
But Harrison Ford also, he's been 60 for 40 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's
definitely like 40s when he Indiana Jones took off, I think. But I love him, but I wouldn't defend anybody, you know. I don't defend him to that point of if someone finds his but it's just also interesting just the timing of it, because in Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark he was very new to us, those of us who saw them at the time when we were young, so it was easier for him to become a hero to us. I think he's taken on so many roles where he's trying not to be the action hero that he's in a lot of really boring movies, and
Firewall.
He's always grumpy.
yeah.
So I hear what you're saying. I get it, and then, but it's funny that Tommy Lee Jones is sort of this same deal, because I feel like more I like Tommy Lee Jones, but I feel more down on his grumpy act because, you know, he was doing it before I started watching movies. Yeah. But here's a question that this just popped into my head today. Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say one movie that I had never seen and weirdly had never heard of, and I loved it, was Slapshot.
Oh yeah.
With Paul Newman. It's a hockey movie.
Do you find that you like hockey movies in general, or just that one?
No, I grew up in South Texas. We didn't have hockey, so I never watched any hockey at all. But when I was doing a week of movies, that I was like, oh, there'll be like sports themed movies, and I was letting people vote, and everyone just kept saying that I had to watch Slapshot. I'm like, I've never even heard of this movie. Okay, I laughed my face off. I thought that was hilarious. That shit still held up, and it came out in the 70s.
Well, isn't it weird too how it is got this? It's got that 70s grit, and it's got sequences. It's got scenes where they're not even trying to be funny. Like there's just his domestic issues or whatever, and his love life such that it is, you know, like stuff like that. It's just very 70s drama. But then the hilarity of the Hanson brothers just.
Oh my God.
You know, skating around beating everybody up. It's crazy.
There's something funny to me in movies where there's just completely like unnecessary roughness and things. Like it's so ridiculously violent. I find that very enjoyable.
Boxing and football movies will make contact between the participants sound like death blows over and over. Like it just sounds it's so much more violent. It's very violent to begin with, and then they managed to make it look and sound more violent than it actually is.
That's like in Rocky, where every swing is coming from their soul. Like every time they come around, they're like, and then the noise it makes when the punch connects just sounds like somebody's breaking a chair over someone's back. Like
It's incredibly, incredibly fake. You go watch in person, they are hitting each other with padded things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does not make the noise.
I know what a punch sounds like, you know.
So I get it. So what about sports movies? That's why I wanted to follow up on the ice skating.
Sorry, yeah.
So if you like the random violence and hockey violence in Slapshot, then I'd be remiss if I didn't recommend that you see the movie Goon.
Oh, it's so good. You recommended that movie for me at the beginning.
Wait,
of us
I did
doing
watch
that.
Goon. I think
you
I did watch Goon. Yes,
yeah,
I did watch Goonies.
Is it Sean William Scott? Is that the lead?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did watch Goonies after you told me to, and I loved it. A movie I had never heard of.
Right.
Never heard
so
of
much
it.
Fun.
It was so much fun. Yeah.
Because like it's like almost like they deserve it every time you beat somebody up, so it's hilarious.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed that movie.
All right, good. All right, so I love that we're just going to have, we basically, it's a year later, we have the same exact conversation that we had last time. But this question that I have for you, and then, you know, we'll let you go soon, but this question came to me today, and even when I thought you'd never done the show before, I still wanted to take time out to ask you, circus peanuts, yes or no?
That's a hard no for me.
I thought you were really going to say that's a hard question.
No, that is a hard no.
You're really
no.
on the fence about it.
Like circus peanuts, like I would, like as a kid, if somebody's, you go stay at someone's house and their family has it, I'm like, what the fuck is, what are y'all doing with your life? Why this horse shit? Circus peanuts suck. Those are I don't like circus peanuts or black licorice. Those are my two, like,
right,
can't do it.
Yeah, everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody, because somebody likes black licorice and somebody likes circus peanuts because they I see them in the
around.
Stores. They're still in
they've
stores.
Been around my whole life, so somebody's buying them.
I bought a bag of circus peanuts today thinking, you know, because I always liked them, but I understood the controversy. I could understand not liking them. And but one thing I liked about them is that, you know, the softness of them if you purchase them at the right time. But I think a lot of circus peanuts sit around for a long time before leaving the shelf, and even though they're all full of fake things to begin with, it's not enough to keep it soft. So I have really hard circus peanuts that I'm working through right now. And I like
that'd
them
be a great band name.
I like them enough to eat them anyway, but it really is a bummer that like they're not even soft. Like it seems like that should be job one of a circus peanut, is maybe to not be all hard and crunchy or whatever,
and
but
not have the consistency of an actual peanut. Like it shouldn't be that hard.
Right, but also like I'm sure comedians have milked this to death over the years, but what makes them I mean, there's already peanuts at the circus,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not like circuses needed some sort of substitute for the peanut. So like how did circuses get dragged into it, just because circuses are so well known for peanuts?
Probably just to appeal to kids. Like, look, circus. Like, you put the word circus in something.
And it's probably something that just didn't age well. It was like at the birth of the candy when people loved going to the circus when it came to town.
But also, like, you could put out a malted milk ball and call it a malted milk ball instead of a Whopper. But nobody puts out circus peanuts and calls them something else. They're always circus peanuts, no matter what company made them.
Yeah, I don't think
anyone
wants
weird?
To touch it.
Yeah.
It is weird. I just assume like old people bought them.
Like they're in the circus peanut is in the public domain. So like how anybody can make a Winnie the Pooh thing now if they want to.
Circus peanuts led to the creation of Lucky Charms in 1964.
I love Lucky Charms.
Just pick the marshmallows.
Oh, hell yeah. When a General
that's
Mills
what circus
employee
peanuts are, is a
pieces.
Big orange marshmallow.
Yeah. Some General Mills employee chopped up pieces of circus peanuts and put them in his Cheerios. And then that's how Lucky Charms came to be. By the way, there's a cookie like at the store right now. You can get like the St. Paddy's Day, like Pillsbury, you know, cookies you just throw in the oven, and they have the Lucky Charms marshmallows in them, and they're really fucking good.
Oh, my God.
It sounds weird, but it's really good.
No, like, I would, if I had an edible, and then, I'd be like, I would slice and bake those things like it was my job.
Yeah,
What's y'all's stance on, what's your stance on candy corn?
Oh, no.
Another polarizing one that I like.
I know I like candy corns, but only the Brock's brand. It has to
be.
Wow. Because the other ones taste like shit, but the Brock's ones taste good.
The other ones can be way more waxier.
Yeah, they make those with honey or something. It
less
has like
flavorful. Yeah.
Yeah, the Brock's ones are good, but.
You know, that's nice to hear that there's one candy that a lot of people hate that you're down with. I think that's just, you know, I. What's your least favorite candy, Doug? Do you have one?
I mean, probably.
People
what
love
we're
to go to
right
black
now.
Licorice. I don't know how black licorice.
I like licorice. Okay. And
people
I love
are so hard on it though. Like or like, what about? Necco wafers.
Oh yeah, I don't like that. That's probably
because they even have the licorice flavor in there.
Yeah,
I just don't like
that's like
texture.
My favorite
Necco
wafer is the licorice one.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever been to that place on? It's called like Soccer Bit. I think it's on 3rd Street, and it's just all gummy candy.
Whoa!
It's like a Swedish gummy. Oh my god! I've gone in there before, and you scoop everything out. And then don't go in there if you're high, because they'll weigh it, and they're like, that'll be $56. You're like, oh shit! I got real excited, but oh my god, I'm gonna take it. This is so good. But I love gummy candies, like fruity gummy things. I'm not a big chocolate person, but
I had a gummy thing recently from the. From the people who do Nerds, where it was like a gummy, but like on the outside was all
the nerd clusters.
Cluster, yeah.
Those are so good.
Yeah, those are ridiculous. I was really unhappy to discover those because I like them too much.
Yeah, like they're really addictive. I bought once. I recently just had those, and all of a sudden I'm like. Okay, I'll take 4 bags of those at Ralph. Let me get more. I love
Nerds, but I just feel weird just dumping a bunch of giant blocks of sugar into my, or, you know, small blocks of sugar into my mouth. I like having them attached to, you know, something like to a gummy version. I like that a lot. I gotta go eat some candy.
I know.
I'm like, I have a bag of Twizzlers with my name on it right now. I can tell.
Yeah, I'm gonna think that sounds those, good.
I'm gonna bake those fucking cookies as soon as we're off.
Yeah, and also, won't that shit leave the shelves soon? As St. Patrick's Day is coming.
It might be. We got a few boxes or whatever, a few tubes.
Yeah. No,
you can celebrate. You celebrate year round. Don't even.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jenny Johnson, always a delight talking to you. What would you like to promote aside from starting lineup once a month at the lab at the Improv in Los Angeles?
Yeah, let's see what I have coming up. I have a therapist appointment next week, but that's for me.
let's go through your calendar. What's going on?
Let's see what I got. I don't have that much coming up, but just follow me on X and formerly known as Twitter, I hate saying that, and Instagram, Jenny Johnson, HI5, and you can check out my movie reviews every day. Also, I have a podcast called Doing It with Danny and Jenny with my buddy Danny Zucker. And if there's anything coming up, Doug, you want to put me on, I'd love to do Doug the movie thing with you.
Yeah, of course.
I would love to do that.
We'll set it up.
Since I was a repeat guest. you need to get more of me. That's what I got. And then I'm, you know, like every week I'm, you know, doing spots around town in LA. So I always let people know on my social media where I'll be.
Yeah. Keep a lookout, everybody, for JAJ.
JAJ, Jenny Dare Johnson.
Doug Mellard, what do you want to plug?
Find me on Instagram at Doug Mellard, and coming up April 10th, I will be at Cap City Comedy Club opening for Eddie Gosling, who is one of my favorite comics. He's
nice.
Just so hilarious. I love that guy, and I haven't seen him in years. And Matt Bearden will be on the show. So come on out April 10th, 8 p.m. What about you, dude?
Fun one. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my calendar now to see what I'm doing April 10th. I think I'm free, so I might come out. what do I got coming up? I've got, you know, like I said before, Douglas Movies is a monthly show at the Lab at the Improv on the third Tuesday of every month. Coming up on April 2nd, I've got a Benson Movie Interruption at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. And all of my dates are at DougLovesMovies.com. Thank you again to Jenny Johnson for being one of our greatest two-episode guests ever.
Thank you, Doug. And thank you, Doug.
As always.
So is this going to be Bubba Doug, this episode? Did we decide?
What do you want to call it?
I said Bubba Doug, since it was Forrest Doug.
Like Bubba Doug, yeah. Shrimp?
Yeah.
I like Bubba that. Doug.
But Bubba Doug Shrimp sounds like something someone would say. You know that Bubba, he Doug Shrimp.
All right, as always, Bubba Doug Shrimp. Got it.